Hey guys, what's going on? It's the Meta Mondays podcast, episode 10. A lot of stuff happened this past week. Not just in terms of Pokemon, but for me and in the world. I guess a lot of stuff happens all the time. But a pretty interesting week. So let's go ahead and just get our hands around this meaty sandwich of a podcast and dig in. That sounded really dirty. So, first, I want to update you on the status of this podcast. I'm not stopping the podcast. If you thought that because I didn't upload last week, that is not the case. I'm changing this podcast to one episode on the second Monday of a month, and the next episode goes up on the fourth Monday of each month. So, for example, in March, the podcast would be up. Let me pull up my calendar really quick. I should have been more prepared. No big deal. The first episode of March would go up on the 10th, and then the subsequent episode would go up on the 24th of March. Now, if there's a month where there are somehow, because that wouldn't be possible if there were six Mondays in a month, that's not possible. But, if I were to do it every other week, there would be months when I could do three episodes, and I simply don't want to do that. I think that's too much to do in one month. I don't think there's enough news, honestly. So I think it's much better if I do two episodes a month as opposed to one episode every week. I think that'll they'll give each episode more substance, as well as I think just make me want to do it more. It's a little monotonous doing a podcast every week when there's nothing going on as it pertains to the topic of your podcast. So like when I have a guest on, it's better because we can go into some conversation, but if I can't get a guest or I just simply don't want to have a guest that week because it's a little bit more work, then, you know, it's a little more monotonous. So that's the reason why there was no podcast last week. If you follow me on Twitter, at Gubstacular, by the way, if you want to do that, I will pretty much post any thought I have on the podcast on my Twitter page. I don't tweet a lot, so if you're expecting me to tweet, like, 20 times a day, that's not happening. I maybe tweet once a day, if I'm in the conversation with someone on Twitter, I'll tweet more, but I rarely tweet a lot. But if you want to ask me questions not related to this podcast or anything, like not for the question segment, but if you just have a question for me, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. I'll be sure to look at it. And you know, if I think that's a good question, I'll respond. If not, I just won't respond because not saying anybody asks stupid questions, but my mother always taught me if you don't have anything nice to say, then simply don't say anything at all. So, yeah, that's basically that. So, not trying to sound like a dick, but I think I do sound like a dick right now. Alright, and another update about my channel. I just want to get all this shit out of the way now, so that way I can just get into the podcasting part of this podcast, and then, you know, it'll be much more entertaining. Is that I got partnered with Curse, so the money I'm making is marginal. I'm not using this channel as a primary source of income. Really can't even be considered a supplementary source of income for me. It's simply just not enough. I still have my job, and I'm still going to be staying at my job. I'm committed to my job for another, let's see, year and 8 months at the very least. So I signed a contract, so I have to stay with my job for that amount of time. Unless I want to pay them to get out of there, but I don't want to pay them. So, I have to stay with my job, which means that I'm going to try my hardest to do one video a day. I can do scheduled upload now, so I'm going to really try and do that. I know you guys would like that, obviously. I'm really going to try hard to do that. It's kind of tough because of all the work that I put into those GBA videos. Those are a lot of work. Like that you have to do the battle. I have to script my matchup segment. I like to have my thoughts down. I have to do timestamps for that layout. And then I actually have to edit everything in GIMP and then put it into Vegas and then add effects to that in Vegas. And then I have to render it, and then I have to upload it. So all said and done, there's probably like, I like to say 12 hours of work that goes into each GBA video. So, yeah, there's a lot of, that's a lot for me, because that's time I could be spending doing something else, but I don't, because I really enjoy those GBA videos, and I hope you guys enjoy them too. But I'm not trying to get you to pity me or anything like that. I understand that I don't have to do this. I do this because I enjoy it, and I enjoy, you know, putting my content out there and having people critique it, let me know what I'm doing wrong, or just simply saying they enjoy it. I enjoy that sense of, I guess, gratification. But yeah, I'm not asking for pity. I'm just letting you guys know how it is, so that way if I simply can't get 7 videos a week, you know, it is what it is. But because I have scheduled upload, my long-ass work day on Sunday isn't necessarily that much of an obstacle anymore. I can simply upload the video on Saturday, set it scheduled for a specific time on Sunday, and boom, it's there. That does not mean GBA videos will be on Sunday, though. They are simply, like, if I battle on Saturday in the GBA because the week starts on Sunday, ends on Saturday, it's not feasible for me to get that video up on a Sunday. It's just, it's not possible. So Tuesday is still the day for GBA videos. But Sunday, I'll just post another battle, maybe a showdown thing, I don't know. It'll just be something, you know, for you guys to watch. If you don't want to watch it, just don't watch. You know, it's no big deal. So... but yeah, that's pretty much it for the channel update and the podcast update. So now the big update that everybody wants to know about. Pokemon Bank! Oh my god, it's finally here. It's finally here. Pokemon Bank. Only a month and a half late. Not quite a half, like a month and a week. We'll give them that amount of leeway. A month and a week late, Game Freak. Good fucking job. And you released it in Europe before America. That's messed up. No, I'm just kidding. That's not really a big deal. It's one day before, so whatever. But I cannot believe it took this fucking long. Pardon my French, but are you serious? Like, I wholly expected it when they said there's going to be delays. I was like, oh, it's going to be maybe a week, 2 weeks, tops. Nope. They took much longer than I expected. I don't know why. Hacked Pokemon still get through. I've actually already sent some through. So, make of that what you will. But, I guess their servers were just really that bad, guys. I'm happy they finally released it. I'm a little ticked that they really did not apologize for anything that they did. You know, you said this was coming out in December. It came out in February. Came out in January in Japan. I'll give them that. It came out in January in Japan, so good for you. But Japan is a much smaller market than the global market. So you did not fully release this thing until February. Good job, Game Freak. Good fucking job. I don't even know if it's Game Freak's fault. I shouldn't say that. Good job, Nintendo. So I'm obviously being sarcastic when I say good job, but yeah. At least they finally released it, right, guys? I was kind of getting to the point where I thought they just simply weren't going to release it. I'm glad they did. Don't get me wrong, that definitely helps me out in the GBA. Now I have Heatran, finally! And that completely changes up my team dynamic, if I so choose. So, I'm happy it's out. I'm happy it's out. We can just move on from this crap. It really is not that big of a deal. I think in retrospect, you know, you look back, oh, an extra month, what a whoop-de-doo. At least, you know, they made sure the servers were up and running, right? So we didn't have server issues for, like, the first month of Bank being out. I think not having it at all would probably be better than the frustration and headaches of trying to deal with server issues. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, we didn't get Bank for an extra month, but we're getting the finished product. It's working well. I haven't had any connection issues whatsoever. If you have, be sure to let me know, and I will, you know, touch on that in the next episode, but I've had no connection issues whatsoever. I haven't used it that much, but I got my Celebi, I got my free Pokemiles or whatever the fuck. So, yeah, it's working pretty well. You have to definitely be careful when you're genning Pokemon to transport. You have to make sure they're really good. They can't just be crap. You have to make sure they're quality hacks. So that's good at least. You know, people can't get Pokemon through with 999 in each stat. I'm glad about that. They have to have legitimate EVs. Obviously, a 6 IV legendary isn't necessarily legitimate, but you can get one of those through. So, I'm fine with that. It really changes the landscape none. I know some people are pissed about Bank because now people are going to be hacking again. I'm not. I'm going to hack for Bank stuff. Like, if it's a move I need on a Pokemon, I have to hack. I have to hack it. I simply did not breed in 5th gen or 4th gen when I came back in 4th gen. I did breed in 4th gen in Diamond and Pearl, but I don't have anything from that game anymore. I sold that game. So, yeah, I'm going to be using Bank for legendaries that simply aren't attainable in this game, and for moves I need. I have to do it. If you have a problem with it, I'm sorry. I'm just going to let you know now, I really don't think you should have a problem with it. I mean, it was going on last generation and no one seemed to have any qualms about it, so I don't know what changes this generation, but if it's a thing I can get in X and Y at that moment and I don't need anything from Bank, I'm not going to gen it, I'm not going to go through it, I'm just going to breed it myself, because I figure breeding's so easy in this game, it would probably honestly be easier to breed it and EV train it. Leveling up's a bit of an issue, but that I can just do that shit while I'm at work. So I have that free time at work where I can just breed, and I get paid for it. So, that's nice for me, I guess. I know some people aren't in the same situation as I am, so they're obviously going to have a bit of more of an issue doing that. But for me, it's pretty easy to breed. I have a ton of free time at work to do it, and that's when I do it. So, unless we have issues with stuff at work, then I have to go and work on it, obviously. But if I have nothing to do at work, that's pretty much what I do, is just breed shit. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for the Pokemon Bank update, though. You know, it's out, and hopefully we can all just move on and be happy. So, another thing that happened this week, though, was the Super Bowl. I'm a big sports fan. I love basketball. I love football. And I like the Diamondbacks. I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I do like the Diamondbacks because I'm from Arizona, so I like to watch the Diamondbacks on my home team. I really can't stand it. I don't like hockey at all. Sorry if you like hockey, but I don't get the game. I don't really want to learn the game. It's just not a huge deal for me. I don't really like hockey that much. But I'll also watch, like, majors in tennis. I don't really like soccer that much, or football, I guess I should say, for all of you people who aren't in America. That would be football. So, yeah, but I like sports. So, the Super Bowl was this week. It was a terrible game. I bet for the Seahawks to win. I kind of expected them to blow out the Broncos. I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, I totally expected the Seattle Seahawks to blow out the Denver Broncos. No. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not going to say, oh, I told you so, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not like that. But I kind of expected that in the back of my mind. I didn't really make a big deal out of it, but I did expect the Seahawks to win. I did not expect 43-8. That was deplorable, to say the least. That was a really, really poor showing by the Broncos. Now, a lot of people are blaming the Broncos. I think the Seahawks are just that good, honestly. There's a contrast in styles in the way the Broncos play and the way the Seahawks play, and really the way the Seahawks play is much more suited to the playoffs. They play physical, they play fast, they hit hard, they jam receivers at the line, they can rush the passer, and physical play is going to win out in the playoffs, and here's the reason why. Refs do not call the games the same in the regular season and the playoffs. Refs are going to throw flags a lot more in the regular season than they do in the playoffs. Why? I don't know. I would like it to be consistent throughout all games, regular season or playoffs. I think they should all be weighted the same because, the Cardinals this year, if you watch football, look at them. They went 10-6. If those flags didn't get thrown in Philadelphia, they would have made the playoffs this year. Well, they would have had to have beaten San Francisco, but I think they would have if it would have came down to it. No, they wouldn't have had to have beaten San Francisco because, I don't know, there's a lot what ifs, but whatever. You know, they were throwing flags a lot in that Philadelphia game. They were. And I don't think that would have happened if that was an NFC Championship game, for example. I don't think they would have thrown some of those flags. Because the NFL doesn't, well, the refs don't want to be the ones to win those playoff games. But they don't care if it's the regular season. It makes no sense to me. But if you play physical in the secondary, if you can rush the passer with just your front four, your defensive linemen in football, you can win playoff games because you're going to out-physical the other team. If you win the line of scrimmage, you're likely going to win the game, and that's what the Seahawks did, and they blew the brakes off the Broncos. They really didn't do it on offense either. They did it in all three phases of the game. They did it mostly on special teams and defense. Like, the defense just kept setting up the Seattle Seahawks offense in prime position to score, and they capitalized on it, and they won. They won big, and I'm happy I win some money over it, but I really would have liked to have seen a more entertaining game. We didn't pick a spread or anything. We just picked winner or loser. I picked Seahawks. The person I bet with picked the Broncos. And, you know, pretty bad game. I don't like Bruno Mars, and I really don't like the Chili Peppers that much either, so that was a pretty shitty halftime show as well. But, you know, they can't all be the best game ever, so, you know, it is what it is, so. All right. But now, I guess that's pretty much it on all the updates. So I guess I'll just go ahead and get into questions because, you know, that's the meat of these podcasts I do by myself are the question segments. So Takua One has a question for me. Actually, kind of like a two-parter, but I'll go ahead and answer both parts. So thoughts on Sacred Fire Entei. Is it enough to make it viable in OU seeing as Sacred Fire is just so good? If I recall correctly, Entei also has extreme speed. With Sacred Fire, I'm telling you what, that thing could be OU viable for sure. You have to get the event Entei, I guess, to do all that. But yeah, I could easily see that thing making a push for OU with Sacred Fire, which is arguably the best attack in the game because it's what, 50% chance to burn? Or does it burn every time? I can't remember, but it's really good. It's a really good move. It's a will-o-wisp. It's like a will-o-wisp that hits for 100 base power. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I think it could be OU viable. The fact that Permasun is gone really hurts it, unfortunately. So I don't think it's gonna. I think it might be BL or UU. I don't know if it'll be OU viable or not. I kind of hope it is. That would be interesting to see. But this, I guess, kind of segues into your next part of your question. Also, never knew Sacred Fire doesn't make contact, so Aegislash, it's a good Aegislash check. I guess what you're doing right because Entei's pretty bulky. I don't know about that. There's not much that checks Aegislash. I guess it's kind of a check. It depends on the situation. Aegislash has a sword stance I probably wouldn't switch in. The fact that Aegislash can go mixed pretty easily as well really hurts. The fact that Aegislash is going to be going second, so you're going to be hitting it based off of its much better defenses. Ugh, I don't know. I think it could be a good check. I don't know. I would have to play with it, honestly. I think there's better Aegislash checks out there. But it's not bad, I guess. Yeah, it could be good. Could be. I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. Bank is out, so shouldn't be too long before we see how that dynamic works itself out. But should be interesting. Good question, Takua One. So, next question, very short. Thoughts on Assault Vest Conkeldurr? I think me and Nick touched on this last podcast, but I guess to humor you, I will go ahead and expound upon my thoughts even more. I like it a lot. It's probably my favorite set this gen, no joke. It's really freaking good. Like, obviously, it's not going to be taking Hurricanes from a Tornadus. That's just not... That's just stupid anyway. Why would you leave Conkeldurr in against that thing? But in terms of neutral or resisted special hits, it's going to take those with impunity. Like, no issue whatsoever. And it has Drain Punch. That's the kicker. A lot of these Assault Vest users have no way to recover. Conkeldurr does. And if you get status on that thing as well, like a T-Wave or a Burn, or I wouldn't want Toxic on it personally. But if you do get Toxic or Poisoned, you can work with it. You're going to be dealing so much damage for, like, no setup whatsoever. And your special defense is going to be boosted 50%. It's really, really good. It's, I really like it a lot. I think it's, I hate to say this, but I never see the thing. So I think it's one of the most underrated sets in this generation. I never see the thing. I don't play on Showdown. I'm sure that's where most people are using it. I never see it on Wi-Fi. Never. I've never played against it on Wi-Fi. People, start using that freaking thing. It is amazing. Like, and it has knockoff boosted, and it has ice punch, T-punch, fire punch. It has the elemental punches, so you can just pick your coverage. Rock slide if you don't want to miss with Stone Edge. Mach punch for priority. It's got an amazing move pool. It has, like, the perfect stats for Assault Vest. There's two ways you can go about it. You can go max HP, max attack to maximize your defensive prowess along with special defense, or you can go max attack, max special defense to maximize the amount of HP you regain from Drain Punch as well as your special tanking capabilities. So, yeah, it's really good, though. I suggest you use it wholeheartedly. It's one of the best sets this generation. Definitely use it. It's great. It's amazing. It is freaking unbelievable. Jim Rome here for Assault Vest Conkeldurr. It is ridiculous. So, yeah. Alright. Next question. Braveheart. What do you think about 6th gen Baton Pass teams with the introduction of Speed Boost Scolipede? Do you think Mega Absol can possibly redeem himself in Baton Pass teams, since it can make use of its magic bounce? And it is the one of the three Megas that gets Baton Pass, or is it just overall a terrible Pokemon? So I'm going to divide that into two parts. What do I think about Baton Pass with Scolipede? I don't like it, personally. I've never liked Baton Pass. I think it's a terrible strategy. I think if you want to win consistently, you don't run Baton Pass. I think it's a gimmick, personally. The problem with Scolipede is that it's not, it can only Baton Pass speed and attack. Those are two stats that are good, but Shell Smash Pass is much better, in my opinion. I think Smash Pass is the best Baton Pass still. Mega Absol is kind of interesting because you can chain it. I don't like it, personally. I don't like Mega Absol on a Baton Pass team either. It's really freaking weak. It's going to die to a lot of priority. Luckily for Scolipede, it's not weak to any priority, and it even resists Mach Punch. Quad resists Mach Punch, so there's that. I think with the addition of Celebi, Baton Pass can become a little bit better because you'll resist, you'll be immune to Sleep Powder and Spore, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, you do have Magic Bounce with Absol, so you can at least be immune to status, but it's just going to die to a Mach Punch or an Extreme Speed, or like Magma while Sucker Punch is going to get it close. I don't like Baton Pass, personally. And Mega Absol's not a terrible Pokemon. It's not good in OU, but I think if it falls to UU, it could be great. I just think it's not OU. Not everything's going to be OU. I don't think Scolipede's going to be OU either. I think Scolipede's probably going to be UU, maybe even RU still. It's not that great. Yeah. And if you're going to use Scolipede, honestly, I would suggest like a Speed Boost Sword Stance 3 attack set. I personally would rather have that than Baton Pass. I think that's much more potent offensively. Mega Horn, Earthquake, Poison Jab. I think it gets Poison Jab. Whatever, some type of poison move. That thing's gonna hit like a truck after one turn of setup, really. And you're going to, yeah, that could be a good cleaner. It could be a good late game sweeper, especially in UU, possibly OU even. I don't know. You have to worry about Egg Slash, because Egg Slash can SD and probably survive an Earthquake even after +2. So you're gonna have to worry about Egg Slash, but. Oh, yeah, and priority Brave Bird really hurts. Talonflame is kind of like anti-Baton Pass, and it could be a recipient of Baton Pass. So, yeah, Talonflame's kind of an anti-baton pass team because of its priority Brave Bird. But, I don't know. Like I said, I have to play with these things. I'm probably never going to play with baton pass. I simply don't like baton pass. But I would have to play with it to give a really, really good opinion. And I just can't do that right now. So I'm just giving you what I feel, not what I know. So, yeah. Sorry, Braveheart, but I don't really like baton pass this gen. I just think it's always been a gimmick, and that's the way it will remain. So, all right, but the last question, and that'll wrap up the podcast after I get this one done. So, Hulk Hogan's knees. This is going to be a really short episode, guys. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's me by myself, so I can only do so much here. Hulk Hogan's knees. I feel like Trick Room is an underused strat, and I hope it would get buffed in some way before this gen. Either way, with an item like Light Clay that extends the turns of Trick Room, or with an ability that automatically sets up Trick Room for 5 or 8 turns, like Drought or Drizzle. If such an ability was introduced, how much more viable would Trick Room be? I don't know. I think if there was auto Trick Room, it would be better. Yes, it would be better. I'm tempted to say at like in my first impulse that, oh my god, that would be so uber, ban that Pokemon. But I don't know. It would. I think if they did that, they would introduce something to cancel out Trick Room, because you know Drought, Drizzle, Sand, Hail, they can all cancel each other out. Because Game Freak doesn't like one thing to become super overpowered. That's why they nerfed Weather this gen. I truly believe that. They nerfed Weather because they saw Drought and Drizzle, and they were just saying, you know, maybe this stuff is too powerful. And they nerfed it. I simply don't think that would ever happen, an auto Trick Room ability, unless there was something to cancel it out. Like, you know, reverse the trick or some crap like that. I don't know. But if there was nothing to cancel it out, and something got an auto Trick Room ability, first of all, I think it would probably go uber. I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably the case. I think it would probably go uber. But it would be really good. It would become much better. If there were an item to extend it, yes, it would become much better. But I don't know. Every time I played against Trick Room, I've kind of been underwhelmed. So I don't know. Could be interesting. I don't like Trick Room as a strategy, personally. Why? Because Weather's different. Weather boosts the power of your moves, or boosts your defenses, or in the case of Hail, makes Blizzard 100% accurate. That's pretty much it. But Hail sucks. I think we could all agree on that. But Sand, Sun, and Rain, there's a lot more of benefits to setting up those field effects than there is for Trick Room. Trick Room simply makes slow Pokemon fast and fast Pokemon slow. It doesn't necessarily mean a Pokemon's becoming better, it's just becoming faster. In Sun, I think we could all agree, Mega Charizard Y is infinitely better than without Sun. It has a one-turn Solar Beam, its fire attacks are boosted, and so on. In Rain, I think we could all agree Manaphy is a much better Pokemon because of Hydration, Rest, Tail Glow, all that shit, its water attacks are boosted. In Sand, I think we can all agree Tyranitar is better than it is without Sand, because it has that 50% boost to its special defense, as well as residual damage not hitting Pokemon, aside from Steel, Ground, Rock. I think that's it. But yeah, I don't know if Trick Room does enough to warrant an auto ability, first of all. It only reverses speed tiers. So, I don't know. I've never been a proponent of Trick Room because it's simply too gimmicky for my tastes. It's too gimmicky to be considered a viable strategy. Yeah, because, I don't know, every time I've played against it, it's done diddly squat. I don't think I've ever lost to a Trick Room team. Like, maybe once or twice I've lost to a Trick Room team. It's very rare that I even see one, to be honest. But when I do, it's that they're usually bad. I don't know, it's just, you know what you're getting with a Trick Room team. Are you going to have 6 Pokemon to set up Trick Room? Otherwise, if I kill your setup guys, if I kill your auto setter upper, if I kill your auto Trick Room guy, then that's gone. But Weather's different. Weather is, instantaneous impact, in my opinion. Trick Room can be instantaneous, but you have to... It's just different. It's really weird. I don't know. I personally don't think it will ever be on the level of Drought or Drizzle in 5th gen. I don't think it would ever get to that level. It could. We haven't seen it. That's the thing. So I'm just giving you my thoughts right now. It would be much more viable, though. It would be much more viable, but I don't know if it would be much better. Yeah, I like that. I don't think it would be much better because... Say, I'm going to throw out this hypothetical just so I can kind of get it out of the way. Say you have a Bronzong. No one uses Bronzong anymore, but say you have one. And you set up Trick Room, and your opponent sees Bronzong's like, oh, I can't really hit that with my lead, so I'm just going to switch out. You set up Trick Room, yada yada. So it's essentially like you got Trick Room up the turn before and because your opponent didn't hit you or anything like that, and they switched out and switched their guy in. So it's really just you got maybe a bad matchup on the lead, but your Trick Room's up. What are you going to do against that bad matchup? Nothing. You're going to have to switch. Now say your opponent switched in a Darmanitan. Okay, so Bronzong's really not going to be able to hit that thing. It can EQ it, yes. It can EQ it, but it's probably not going to kill because it's not stab. It's coming off a pretty poor attack stat. So what are you going to do? You're going to Hypnosis and miss? You're going to set up rocks? Whoop-de-doo. Darmanitan's going to destroy it. I don't think that the problem is Trick Room just doesn't have enough good Trick Room abusers, in my opinion. It would, and I don't know if it was infinite Trick Room, my thoughts would be different. If it's infinite Trick Room, it would be broken. But since it's like 5 to 8 turns, I don't think it'd be that bad. I know. So yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, that's not basically it. I also have one more thing to say. We're going to know what the auto Trick Room guy is. So if you see that on your opponent's team, you see the team looks like a Trick Room team, you just lead with something to kill the auto Trick Room guy. God, if Chandelure still had Shadow Tag, that would be really good at doing that. I'm assuming it's Bronzong. It would probably be something in the vein of Bronzong, a slow steel or psychic type, or a slow steel psychic type, like Metagross or something. But yeah, it's likely going to be a psychic type, maybe a ghost type, maybe a steel type. Those are the three types that really are associated with Trick Room. And maybe dark too. We can throw dark in there, but... you know, it's just, we're going to know what the auto Trick Room setter upper is, and we're just going to bring in something to kill it. So, I don't know. And stuff with Shadow Tag to shut it down, Wobbuffet, Gothitelle. So, it would be interesting, but I don't think it would be that good, personally. I don't think it would be as good as we think it would be. I think it's one of those things that seems better on paper than in practice. So, yeah. That's basically it. For the questions, and that's basically it for the podcast. So, as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes if you don't listen to it on YouTube. Obviously, if you've gotten this far, you're probably listening to it on YouTube. But, you know, if you don't, there's a link in the description. Subscribe on iTunes. Ask me questions on Twitter, @GubsTacular. Ask me questions in the comments as well. Leave a like if you want on the YouTube video. Why not? Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. So, take it easy, and peace out.